Welcome to Chicago Jazz Revealed. I'm Mike Jeffers here live at Katarina's, 1920 West Irving Park Road in Chicago. And of course, if you'd like to come down to a live recording of the show, we record every Tuesday night here at Katarina's, and then the show airs, of course, on WDCP at 9 p.m. on Wednesday nights, and also podcast on chicagojazz.com. Tonight's show is a little bit of a special feature we're going to start doing on a monthly basis, and many of you heard, and many of you know, pianist in town, Tom Muehlner. And he's sitting right next to me here. And we came up with the idea, Tom, after you were on the show about a month and a half ago.
Yes.
We had you on. And you run one of the top jam sessions in the city every Monday night at the Serbian Village.
Yes, I would say it's the most fun you can have legally.
And it's every Monday night, 9 p.m. at the Serbian Village. And what is the address of the Serbian Village?
3144 West Irving.
3144 West Irving?
Correct.
So the jam session concept, we were talking a little bit about that when you were on the show before, and it made me start to think, and of course we had a lot of listeners call in and compliment us on having you on the show. They don't compliment anybody about having me on the show, but you come on the show and I start to get Facebook messages and emails and everything else. So you should feel pretty good about that.
Well, that's great. Thanks.
But I thought it would be a great idea, and you and I talked a little bit, about trying to find some people, some musicians in town that are under the radar, since this is Chicago Jazz Revealed,
yep.
And bring them on and have this be maybe once a month a special Tom Muehlner showcase night, where you can pick certain people that you think need to get recognition. Maybe you hear them at the jam session. Of course, you perform pretty much every single night of the week in different venues throughout the city and suburbs.
Luckily,
yeah. And you play with a lot of different people.
That's true.
So I thought that would be a great idea. I mean, you and I talked about it, and so tonight is our first showcase night, and we have action-packed. We've got two groups performing tonight, and of course that would mean two different interviews, and you're going to be sitting in on the whole show.
Right.
I can tell you're very excited about that.
I'm just, you know, delighted.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about, now Gail Kolb is a vocalist, and we all know Gail. How are
Hi.
You, Gail? Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And Gail has an interesting story, but I want to get your take on why you wanted to bring Gail in as one of our first segments on this show. Because, I mean, I know Gail. Gail performed at our booth at the Chicago Jazz Festival.
Right,
did a great, beautiful job, and everybody loved her. But that was one of the first times I had actually heard you sing live. But you get to play with all these people.
That's true. Gail came into the session, how long ago was that? 2 years ago. And she's sat in, you know, and she's just sounded great. Has great phrasing, pure jazz singer. And she's been getting some gigs here and there, and we've been working together, and she's terrific. Really love her singing.
Well, now, Gail, You went into the Serbian Village 2 years ago to sit in. How did you find out about the Serbian Village, first off? That's my question.
Actually, Rusty Jones recommended
okay.
I go there. And on his recommendation, I went in with a friend of mine, because mm-hmm. I was kind of scared to death to go in there, to tell you the truth. And
not that it's a scary place.
No, it's not scary. I was scary.
Just because of the fact that there's all these musicians in one spot.
They were fabulous, yeah. Yes. And anyway, it was just a great night. I had a great time.
Now, so 2 years ago you walked into the Serbian Village. Were you performing around town at that point? Were you doing different things, kind of getting into the scene? Or,
getting
you know, were
back
you more
into
established?
The scene. I had been away for a while, and I'd been singing up in Michigan.
Okay.
In South Haven and Fenville and up there for a while, and just getting my chops back.
Okay.
And Rusty recommended that I go to Serbian. And I did. And he said, I'm playing drums that night. And he said, and I'll make sure you get up.
Yeah. So. Well, Rusty's good about doing that. He's wonderful.
He's a great friend. An ambassador. He really is.
He is. We'll have him on.
He has no technology, you know.
I know.
No cell phone, no email. But he like, you know, if you're playing with Rusty, there's 5, 6, 7, 8, maybe a dozen people coming in. He uses the phone, you know.
I know. He doesn't text either. He just calls people up. I mean, how unheard of.
Yeah.
What craziness.
What a concept.
He's great.
Well, so you came from Michigan. Were you living in Michigan?
No. I live here in Chicago. But I started kind of getting back into the industry there.
Okay.
It was a place to go and work. And actually, Wally Michaels is up there. He used to work at Sage's East. Here in Chicago, mm-hmm. And I had sat in with him before, and we kind of reconnected, and I just kind of got my chops back, as they say.
You know, there's more stuff happening in I always call it the Lower Peninsula, Michigan, mm-hmm. because the mm-hmm. Upper Peninsula. So
Dick Reynolds performs there as well. So
I mean, there's more and more theaters. What's the name of the theater that? Oh my gosh, Three Oaks.
Yes,
Three
is Oaks.
That right?
Correct.
Three Oaks. That's mm-hmm. that's in Lower Michigan. You're over in Michigan. You're getting your chops back. You come to Chicago. Obviously, you must have done this at some time in the earlier stages of your life.
I did work in Chicago many years ago. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, why don't we jump back a little bit, just because I'm curious and I love to get information and find out about the background of our guests here on the show. How did you get your start? I mean, did you grow up performing? Did you have music in the house, or how did you, you know, become a vocalist?
I have a very musical family. My grandfather used to sing opera on the radio in Chicago back in the day. Yes. They're from Vienna.
Mm.
And everyone in my family can sing or play an instrument or dance or do something mm-hmm. musical. And so it was just kind of there.
So you just kind of sparked you at a young age.
It was always there. And yes, and I always sang in a choir or sang on the front porch with my girlfriend and, you know, or played guitars with my brother in the back porch.
So there's a lot of
music
happening.
We always did that. Always, always, yes. The whole family sings.
Did you take formal lessons at some point?
I didn't. I am now, but I didn't. I didn't.
Well, you didn't.
Not anything formal. No, that was unheard of in those days. Gail, you get a job. You don't take singing lessons.
Gail can sight read, which is impressive.
I can. Well, I did. I did take piano lessons. Yes. I did.
Okay. So. Well, okay. So you're in high school and you're singing on the porch playing guitar.
Yes. Yes, I did.
I mean, did you start doing formal things in high school at
in
all?
In college as well. Okay. I did some performances there.
Playing gigs?
Yes,
or playing
with my brother and his friends, yes.
It's kind of what
naturally,
kind of gigs
we just
were,
did
they?
It.
Were they?
Yes, just, we were asked to do it, and we did it.
Oh. Well, what
so
kind of
fun.
Like what kind of music? Was it like jazz stuff then? Or
no,
were you...
it was commercial. It was more of a folk, mm-hmm. folk singing.
Yeah.
And it was popular then, and we did it.
So when you're doing all of this, it sounds like you were doing a lot of different genres.
I did.
And getting a feel for everything. How did you mm-hmm. find yourself getting into the jazz, I guess the jazz music, you
well,
know,
I,
getting
I,
into jazz music?
I ran away to L.A.
Oh, yeah?
And I met a girlfriend who wanted to become a singer. She was a folk singer, which mm-hmm. I always admired about her. I wanted to be that, but I wasn't. And we walked into this wonderful bar in Long Beach, California. Mm-hmm. And this fabulous musician, Mel Norfleet, was performing one hand on the B3 and one hand on the piano. And I thought, oh, my gosh, he was playing jazz. And she got up and sang. They were passing the microphone around.
Okay,
and
yeah.
She got up and sang her folk songs. And he just went, okay. And then he said, what does your girlfriend do? And I said, I don't know any. I don't know the words. But I know melodies, but don't know the words. And he said, well, here. And he handed me the sheet music to Funny Valentine. He said, what key? And I said, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And so he picked one, and it was the wrong key. And as a result, I had to work around the melody and make it work. I knew the melody.
Because he didn't change, right?
He's he like, did. Okay. He just went with it, and I made it work, and he was very impressed. And then he asked me to come back.
Oh, wow.
And I did, week after week after week. And as a result, then I met some other musicians, mm-hmm. formed a band, and started working in the Hyatt Hotels.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was fabulous.
So you're out in L.A. and you keep showing up, and all of a sudden you start meeting musicians.
I was working 6 nights a week.
Wow.
It was there.
Totally out of nowhere.
Totally out of nowhere. It took a while to get going.
Yeah.
I paid my dues, you know, playing in those places and hanging out at different things. But finally it clicked, and we did get a job at the Hyatt Hotels, and that stuck.
What was that like back then? I mean, back then, I mean, a 6 day a week gig.
Oh,
I mean,
it was fabulous. It was tiring to my voice.
How many hours would that?
It was 4 hours in L.A.
Okay.
Here it was six. When I came back here, mm-hmm. you worked 6 hours a night, but it was 4 hours in L.A. So that was a pretty good life.
What is that
I could
like?
Play tennis all day and go to work from 9 to 1 and come home, and it was pretty good.
How about you got to work with Joe Pass?
I did sit in with him once. Yes, one evening I had a friend who knew him personally, mm-hmm. and he asked if I could come and sit in with him on a Monday night in L.A. And being as young as I was, I don't think I really knew what I was doing.
Yeah.
All I know is when he played, I went to places I had never been before musically.
Mm-hmm.
He just took me right there. I remember singing Midnight Sun with Joe Pass.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. It was just fun.
You must have met a lot of people. I mean, in L.A.,
well,
I mean, you know.
The friend, Mel Norfleet, who started me out and helped me get started, went to school with Harry Sweets Edison.
Oh, wow.
And all those Jazz Crusader guys.
And
he said, go to this jam in L.A. On a Sunday. And I remember singing the blues to this group of people, and Harry Sweets got up and backed me up, and it was just one of those other moments. It was just, you know, things like that happen every once in a while.
Yeah,
it was really a thrill. It was a thrill.
Back at that time, I mean, that had to be like, you know, everybody was probably hanging out back then, right? I mean, it wasn't like it is now, where it's like maybe once here, once there. I mean, everybody would
crash in and hang out and stuff. Yes, I would. Lorez Alexandria was singing in L.A. at the time. Sammy Fletcher, I would go see them on my nights off, night off. But it was great.
Man, well, and
I had a great time. It would just seem to come in those days. It just came to me.
Yeah. Well, you know, and with that kind of thing, I mean, just it sounds like you were basically getting your start.
Oh, yes.
You know, but being able to all of a sudden perform 6 nights a week had to be an incredible opportunity.
It was fun. Well, we were doing commercial things. The Hyatt Hotel, you had to sing the Carpenter songs, and then I'd throw in my jazz tunes, and then you'd go back to this or a folk song. We mixed it all up.
Yeah.
So we kept the people dancing and applauding.
Well, you still have to do that now, too, if you get one of those gigs.
It's fun.
I mean, but if you get one of those gigs now, if you're at a hotel, I mean, you can't just show up and play bebop tunes all night. You have to
mix
things.
Why not? No, just kidding.
No, but it was what I did at the time in order to work.
Mm-hmm.
If I had just stuck to the jazz, I don't think I would have worked 6 nights a week.
Well, and also,
to tell you the truth,
to be honest with you, too, I mean, I play a lot of different styles of music myself, and I think that all of them together help you build a great foundation so that, you know, if you're playing jazz, I mean, that's you're playing. So, I mean, all of these different styles you were working on in L.A. had to help you just be able to do everything.
I loved performing so much that I made it my business to sing those kinds of songs.
Yeah.
I wanted to work, and I made a living at it.
Mm-hmm.
So if I had gone down one other path or this only jazz, I don't think I would have been as successful as a performer.
Right.
It wouldn't have been as lucrative at the time. So.
Well, so how long were you in L.A.?
Oh, gosh.
Because obviously you left because you're here.
Yes. I was there about 8 years that time.
Okay.
I went back later on, but I was there 8 years. I came back to Chicago, my hometown, and started futzing around trying to find gigs around here, and ended up at the Terrace in Lombard for 4 years. That was a beautiful, beautiful job.
Yeah.
And once again, I had wonderful musicians. I was able to pick my musicians. And Tom Clem was my conductor at the time. I don't know whatever happened to him since, but he was brilliant. And he was currently playing Jesus Christ Superstar in Chicago.
Oh, wow.
And so he was a brilliant player and conductor, and put together all the music that I asked him to. Mm-hmm. And we had a great band, and he sang like David Clayton Thomas. So we played off of each other. So it was. We made it very interesting.
And it was a nightclub kind of scene?
Oh, it was a showroom. Like a, it would seat 250 people.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah.
How many nights a week?
That was, I think, six as
well.
Wow. I don't remember. Five or six.
But I still.
We did it for 4 years.
Still in a 250-seat room.
Oh, and on Saturday nights, yes, it was packed.
These days.
It was packed. Yes, and I'm still friends with the owner, John Daniels.
Oh.
I'm still friends. We're golf buddies.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
We've got to go golfing, by the way. We were talking about that
okay.
off the air. We've got to go golfing sometime. Gail's a big golfer, but if I start talking about golf with you, then we're going to forget about music,
right.
And Tom's going to sit here and want to leave.
Twiddle my thumbs. Well, that's what I'm doing
anyway. I love golf.
So now, Tom, when you first heard Gail, what kind of sparked you when you were listening? Because, I mean, as a piano player, you've got to hear certain things in vocalists.
Well, I like the keys she works in. She sings in lower keys. It appeals to me. And I just love her phrasing and her ideas, you know, what she does with a melody. She's true to the melody, but she knows how to play with it. And
yeah.
Do things with it, and we just hit it off great, and we've been working together ever since.
You know, when vocalists come into the Serbian Village, or when you accompany any of them, what's one of your biggest pet peeves? Not that Gail does this, but what I'm saying is, like, you know, is there a repertoire thing that just is like, oh, give me a break? Or if somebody comes in and they hand you a charts, and there's like 10 pages of charts that you're at a jam session.
That does happen every now and then. And so because it's my jam session, I just say, like, I just kind of toss it and say, you know, how about just something everyone knows? All kinds of things happen. Generally, the jam session is on a pretty high level musically. It seems like most of the singers that come in, 90% of them are terrific. And the musicians certainly that come in are terrific, you know. Except for one guy last week, but that's another story.
Let's name names. Let's go.
Yeah. No.
Let's get the ratings. It's sweeps week over here at WDCB.
Well, there's a certain protocol, you know, like people who...
We're taking a turn the other direction,
Gail.
Get ready. Here we go.
Negative.
He's just making it up.
Yeah. No, let's get negative here. No, I mean, you know, a lot of musicians are, you know, they're very, they're hip. They get it, you know. They don't, like, just walk up and start playing without asking. Well, this guy came in last week and just didn't ask anyone anything, started playing, and he was awful. I mean, I won't say any names. But it brought the whole thing down, you know. And you kind of lose control. You feel like you're losing control, you know. So.
Well, you know, with a jam session... And, Gail, you know, you can speak to this, too, since you go to a lot of them now. And, actually, you're going to be featured at the Serbian Village December 2nd for the first hour, 9 p.m. to 10 p.m.
Right.
Tom
right.
always has a featured vocalist or instrumentalist for the first hour,
right.
and then it opens up the jam session starting at 10 o'clock. So you're going to actually be the feature December 2nd at the Serbian Village. To me, when you go to a jam session, I mean, it's one of those rare things that you actually, like, have an instant band put together. So everybody's got to be on the same page with the same mindset, the same concept. And if you're not, it's like if you got one guy in the band that is just not on the same page as the rest of the band,
right.
regardless, even if it's at a jam session or not, it's not going to be fun.
Right.
It's not going to be able to play to the highest. So, I mean, Gail, when you're sitting in, when you're playing with different musicians, when you're doing things, I mean, when something starts to go sideways,
you just keep going.
You just keep going?
You just keep going and pull it out and make it work.
You just kind of ignore what's happening.
You have to.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, there have been times when I've, you know, been hired to play, and there were, you know, certain musicians in the group I was playing with that just weren't up to the level of what it takes to play professional music. But generally, if you just you can make it work. You find, because everyone has certain gifts and talents, and you just try and make it work.
Yeah.
And you just kind of find out what their strengths are, and you just make that work for you. You know, and then again, there's those times when you have the magic night, you know, where you just have fabulous players, you know, mm-hmm. Phil Gratteau on drums and Jim Cox or Kelly or Larry Cohut on bass, those kind of people, Eric Schneider, you know, just great musicians. And it's just like, it sounds like you've been playing together for 80 years.
Well, and hopefully tonight that's gonna happen, because Phil Gratteau is playing drums here.
No, he's not.
He's not? Tonight? Yeah, tonight he is.
Oh, that's right.
You got to play along, Tom. You guys recorded some tunes already, but that's all right. I'm trying to keep this.
I'm trying to keep this together.
You guys recorded earlier.
Okay.
So yeah,
that.
Phil and Kelly, they're going to sound great, I'm sure. It's
absolutely
going to sound like the beauty of radio, the wonder of radio. Okay. Anyways, jumping back over to Gail. So you're in Chicago. You're mm-hmm. doing all of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You went back to L.A. You came back. So now mm-hmm. now you're established. Now you've got a CD that you've recorded.
Yes.
But all of a sudden now you've got a lot of stuff happening in the past 2 years since walking into the Serbian village.
Right.
You've got a CD coming out soon.
I have to do that. Yes, that's not completed.
Yes. It's in the process.
Yes,
it's in the process.
It's in the works.
And you've got gigs. Now you've got another one coming up at Francesca's in LaGrange on December 5th.
Yes.
And
that's been a great venue.
You know, as a vocalist, you're the leader, obviously, right? So you're the leader. You get the gigs. You make the phone calls. You put the whole thing together. What's some advice to, like, younger musicians and musicians coming up, like, to get gigs, to kind of put things together? I mean, how are you doing it? Are you just stopping in, making calls, talking to
all
other
people? All of the
above. Yeah.
Don't give up.
Yeah. Well, that's good advice, right?
It's hard. It's hard.
I mean, Tom, you know, you play all over the place, too. I mean, you know, as far as advice on putting gigs together and things.
Well, you know, you always try and get the best possible musicians, and there's certainly a lot of fine bass players and drummers and instrumentalists and vocalists, and you know, you just do what you can to put a great band together and you tailor it too. You know, if it's sometimes a gig, you know, you may have to do some pop things, so you need to make sure you have musicians on it that are willing to do that.
Yeah.
Or whatever, you know. Now, if it's a straight-ahead jazz gig, you know, you just tailor everything. That's the way I look at it, you know, and you make it work.
Yeah. Well, so you're hustling. You're getting things together. One of my last questions before we're going to hear some tunes from you is, what do you have coming up in the future? What do you want to have happen? I mean, do you have recording projects? Do you have other things? Are you just happy with the way your whole momentum is going now? It just seems like you're kind of like back on the scene and things are kind of building to a great place.
Certainly, I hope the new year brings even more. That's
yeah.
all I can say, because I do love to perform, and I certainly would like to be doing it even more.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I hope for, and hopefully by creating this new CD, that will also enhance the visibility and help me do even better.
Well, and of course, everybody can get more information at Gail Kolb, KOLBmusic.com.
Right.
GAYLEKOLBmusic.com. See, thought I was going to forget mm-hmm. about that. And Tom, is there anything else that I know I sort of moderated the discussion here,
no,
but
no. I think you covered it all just about, Mike. And and I, you know, all I can say is we're grateful for all that you do for Chicago music, Chicago
Absolutely.
Jazz.
Thank you.
And
wow, thanks.
Promoting this music, because we need all the help we can get.
That's right. Well, and of course, all the listeners out there are going to enjoy taking a listen to Gail and her group perform here in a few minutes. And then, Tom, you're going to come back over, and we are going to sit down with two other guests tonight.
That's right.
And who might those be, Tom? I'm going to let you do a little work here.
Yeah, that's Stephanie Aaron and Dan Nicholson.
Great. All right, well, we'll have them in the next segment. But first, we're going to take a listen to Gail And you guys perform live here at Katarina's, 1920 West Irving Park Road, here on Chicago Jazz Revealed, 90.9 FM, WDCB, chicagojazz.com.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, guys. All right, we're back here at Chicago Jazz Revealed, live from Katarina's, 1920 West Irving Park Road here in Chicago. It's okay to clap, scream, yell. We always like to encourage our audience to scream out just whenever. I mean, they can just scream out whenever, right, Tom?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, it's just like a club. That's
be free. Be crazy. It's fine.
Well, we're back here with another segment of with Tom Uehlner here. We're calling a little Tommy Showcase, but I'm sure we'll come up with a hipper name at some point. But maybe that's a hip enough name. I don't know. We can decide
little
about
Tommy.
That later. Little Tommy Showcase. Who do we have here, Tom? I'm going to let you do more work on this one because I just heard you guys perform. I'm settling back. I'm relaxing here at Katarina, so I'm going to let you kick off the segment.
Well, I have two very dear friends and fine musicians, the wonderful Stephanie Aaron, who is a wonderful vocalist.
Thank you.
And her husband, Dan Nicholson, who is a fine alto and tenor player. And you play flute?
A little bit, yes.
Okay.
I prefer not to.
Clarinet?
No.
Okay.
I have one. It lives under my bed.
Okay. But
safer that way.
Wonderful tenor and alto. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I met Stephanie, how long ago would you say?
I would imagine around 8 years ago.
Something like that. I had some friends playing at an Italian restaurant that we can't remember the name of.
It was on Rush Street,
and it's gone. It's condos or something.
Yeah,
it's not there anymore, anyways.
Right,
no.
Right.
Who cares? So
anyway, a friend of mine, Mike Cunningham, who is a pianist, arranger, and he is also my accountant. So he does my taxes. But anyway, he
you want to give out his phone number in case we need some tax consulting done?
Yes.
Every musician needs an accountant.
I know, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
A real creative one. Anyway, he had a steady thing at this Italian restaurant, and he had a friend of mine, Richard Drexler, who lives in Florida, who's an incredible bassist and pianist. He's worked with countless legends. Anyway, he's originally from Bloomington, and he went to high school with John Campbell, who is also a dear friend of mine, mm-hmm. and that's how I know him. And anyway, I went to go hang out, and Stephanie was there singing, and I sat in, and I really liked her singing a lot. And at the time, I was working at the Drake. I was there about 4 years. And it's a long story, but I won't get into the details. But Stephanie ended up doing a lot of gigs with me at the Drake.
Tommy was very good to me. When he was at the Drake, he was playing with another singer, and she would travel and tour and sing. And if she was out of town, Tommy would
Colleen,
call me.
Right?
Yeah, Colleen McNabb.
Colleen McNabb,
when she was gone, Tommy would call me up, and I'd sub in for her.
Okay.
And then eventually she left altogether.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I was able to slip into her Drake spot on Friday nights. And I was lucky enough to do that for a couple of years.
Now, you and Dan, obviously, that you're married.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And did you guys meet in Chicago, or did you meet? You did meet in Chicago.
Yeah, we did. He's from North Carolina.
Yes, I'm from North Carolina.
This isn't an inquisition.
Yes. And apparently, Stephanie was visiting my gigs, and she says she never saw me before, but she was at one of my regular gigs with the Model Citizens. It's the third Monday of every month.
Yeah,
the Brian Gallery O'Hearn. Cabaret, Brian O'Hearn.
Brian O'Hearn, yeah. He's a gas. It's a fun band.
It's a hard to describe band.
Yes, it is.
But you have to check it out at least once. But we met there the old fashioned way at a bar.
Isn't that beautiful?
Well, I mean, and the magic happened, obviously. So even though it was at the Gallery Cabaret, I mean, you know.
Dreams can come
that's
true
right.
at the Gallery, 2020 North Oakley.
There you go.
That's right.
There you go. Well, so now what's it like? both of you being a musician in the same household, I mean, you obviously...
It's noisy.
It's noisy, right? And you probably have, like, weird hours because, I mean, you know, as musicians, you guys are playing until 1, 2, 3 in the morning, and then you're sleeping in, and then you're getting up. I mean, is that like a typical day? I mean, I don't know.
That's one of the beautiful things about it. You know, a lot of musicians I know are married to people with day jobs, the dreaded day job. And it's hard. They don't get to see each other very often because, you know, you're coming home and you're trying to be quiet. So
right.
She gets some sleep, and then she's up way before you're up. But with us, we have the same schedule, so it's it works out well for our marriage.
Oh, that's perfect.
Right?
Yeah.
It does work
it's
out
good,
really
right?
well.
Our marriage is good, right?
Yes, yes.
Well, now,
it's
why
great.
Don't... Breaking news.
It's on the radio. It's got to be
right,
true.
Yeah. See, Mom.
All right, so before we get completely... gone, because I could start chiming in too, and then we won't even be talking about music anymore. We'll be having too much fun. So you came up from North Carolina, Dan.
I did. I went to college in Florida.
Okay.
I got
Miami
a good deal there. Well, my parents, you know, didn't have a lot of money coming up, so they had a savings account for me for college, but it wasn't enough. I wanted to go to North Texas State, but it would only cover, you know, 6 months there. So I was a realistic pragmatist even at 18, and I went where the full ride was. So I went to University of South Florida and studied with Jack Wilkins, the saxophone player,
right.
Jack Wilkins.
He's great. Yeah.
Great educator, and learned some bebop. And then I heard about Bunky Green. He was in Jacksonville, so I transferred and finished my undergrad in Jacksonville.
Is that performance?
That was performance, jazz performance. Yeah, I was young. I didn't know any better. And then I followed a girl to Chicago, a different girl.
A different
girl.
Yeah,
not this girl. A different singer.
Yeah.
A terrible singer.
No, she's a great singer. Let's be fair.
Yeah.
So then you came up to Chicago just because you wanted to, you were following her up to Chicago.
Right, it had to be a big city.
Scene.
It was
L.A.
or New York or here. And I'm from the East Coast or Chapel Hill, North Carolina, so further east than here. But I was kind of parceled to New York coming up. But I had a lot of friends that moved to New York when I moved to Chicago, and they really struggled, and some of them continue to struggle. And Chicago was great. It's kind of like a blue collar musician town where you
absolutely
roll up your sleeves and play for money.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you bring that up too, is that there's a lot of people that I mean, you know, that I know that either left here, went to New York, or I went to school with, they went to New York, or and that's a tough scene there because, I mean, there's so many people. But it seems like here in Chicago, I mean, I think it's the number one music city in the world. I mean, you might have the A&R guys and everybody else on the coasts. But, I mean, in Chicago, if you want to work and you want to play, you can find a place to do that.
And the people are very welcoming. You know,
yeah.
I met Tommy right after I moved to town. What was that jam session? It was also called The Gallery.
Oh, was that the one on Elston?
Yes.
Oh, at Vesna's
place. Oh, Vesna's place,
the Jazz Gallery.
Yeah, so I met Tommy right after I moved here. And, again, everyone's so welcoming. Tommy, just, you know, come play.
Yeah, come on and play. And then, of course, he played his off. Sorry. He played
his...
Edit
the first
that
movie.
Out. He played his butt off.
Oh, geez.
But you got a master's degree from DePaul, which is quite impressive.
I did after I was in town for a while. I had a lot of free time on my hands, like most musicians do, so I figured, you know, why not? I'll go back to...
Hey, why not? I'll go back to school.
Yeah, I went back to school and got to study with Tom Matta. I got to learn some about arranging. I figured the more diverse you can be, the more money you can make, honestly.
Sure,
so,
sure.
Yeah.
Did you get it in arranging or your degree?
I did, arranging composition.
Ah, okay, all right. You know, just sticking with this thought for a second, too, I mean, we should talk a little bit about your weekend stuff that you do. I mean, you're in Indigo, which is one of the top bands, corporate bands. What would you call it, a jobbing band, corporate band?
Yeah, corporate, special, a high-end special event
right.
You know, company. I work for Arlen Music. And Indigo is one of their five large ensembles. So I lead Indigo, which is an 11-piece dance band. We have four vocalists, rhythm section, and three horns.
Yeah. I mean, the thing with that, and I've seen you guys perform a couple of different times.
Oh, yeah.
Chris Mayhew's wedding was one of them.
That's right, yeah.
That's right. But the thing with those bands where the arranging must come in is that, I mean, you know, every week there's new tunes coming out.
Yes.
So I'd have to imagine that you've got to be on top of that. You've got to be, you know, arranging the whole thing, you know, putting everything together. I mean, that's got to be a full-time job in itself, just keeping up with that throughout the week to get things ready for the weekend.
It does take a lot of time. Every week I write two or three charts, and when it's especially difficult is when it's a, you know, someone says, I really like Sinatra. Can we do the Sinatra? I'm like, great, I love Sinatra. And those arrangements are great. We have three horns, so condensing a big band chart to three voices, it's hard, but it's a challenge I enjoy. And
I mean, when I heard you guys, I mean, I've heard a lot of different bands, you know, some of the weekend bands and stuff, jobbing bands. You guys don't sound like, you guys are tight. And the stuff sounds really, I mean, it sounds thought out, processed out. It sounds authentic, you know, rather than, you know, some of the guys, they get together and kind of, it is what it is. But, I mean, the band sounds really tight when I heard you. And, I was impressed. I mean, that was very cool.
It's a great group of people. I got to hire, you know, Matt Thompson, our bass player, was one of the guys that used to come with Matt Canellis to that jam session.
Yes.
So some of these guys in the band I've known since I moved to Chicago. So
terrific players.
Yeah. Too.
And I see the work side of it. You know, he goes out on Saturday night in his tuxedo and everybody sees the end result. But I watch him all week long, and he does work hard. And he's in the office writing those charts every week. There's requests every week. And, he puts a lot of sweat and hard work into it, so it comes off real cool and easy on stage.
Well, and also a lot of people don't realize, but, like, on a Saturday night, if the gig starts at 7, you're, like, leaving the house at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, yeah. Yes. They're long days, for sure.
They don't realize. And then you get home at about 3 in the morning. I mean, that's, like, you know, it's a lot of work. People don't think about any of that stuff. Yeah. So now, Stephanie.
Yes.
Let's get back over to you here.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got sidetracked. So, Tom, I didn't mean to take over here. Go ahead.
No, that's quite all right. You're doing a wonderful job.
Oh, thanks.
But okay, let's see. Stephanie does voiceover work.
And
did some radio, I believe.
I was in radio for several years in my hometown in Peoria and had a morning show before I moved here, So I'm totally happy right now.
Are you trying to steal my job?
No, not at all, not at all. But if anybody wants to hire me, I'm available completely.
So you were actually a broadcaster. You were in radio.
Absolutely, yeah.
And did you go to school for music, or did you go to school for broadcasting?
I went to school for theater. I have a theater performance degree.
Okay.
Yeah.
From
Bradley University.
Oh, Bradley, sure.
Lots of Bradley. Actually, alumni are in Chicago, and there's a lot of theater happening that they are involved in. One of the girls that works with Arlen, now with Daniel, she leads her own band. She's a Bradley grad, Caitlin. It's kind of it's. I grew up in Illinois, in Peoria, and went to college and school there, and then moved to Chicago. And there's still a lot of ties between, you know, Central Illinois and Chicago.
Well, and being in theater, musical theater, I'm sure.
Oh yes.
And everything else. So you were singing, you were getting all your chops together down there. How did you get into the jazz side of it?
I worked. There is a guy in Peoria who is an excellent jazz saxophonist named Larry Harms, and he has worked with a lot of really great talent that has come up to Chicago. Alex Austin, who plays bass, he's a great bass player. He's a student of Larry's. Greg Ward, Doug Stone, all these saxophone players that came up in Peoria were students of Larry's, and really great. Brianna Thomas is a great singer. She's in New York right now, and she also was a student of Larry's. He has touched a lot of people, and a lot of those people have gone on to Chicago and then gone on to New York and then gone on. You know, I know Greg tours around all over the place. I just saw him on Halloween.
Okay.
Peoria actually has a little very happening pocket of jazz.
Mm-hmm.
Larry and I were in a wedding band together many years ago. And at some point over the years, we decided we wanted to do something cooler, more intimate, less commercial. And that, of course, is jazz.
Yeah,
if there's something that's not commercial, that thing is jazz.
You were going for the money, right?
I'm rolling in it, too.
You wanted to make some money for a change, and you went to jazz.
Yeah, well, so that's how it started.
So you came up to Chicago. I mean, you're on as a morning host.
I was. I would get up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Was it a morning zoo?
Was a wake-up club.
Oh, okay. There you go. I knew it had to be something.
Yes, it was. It was ridiculous. But great fun. You know, I got up and I would write the news and read the news, and I did the entertainment report, and we'd have banter and hilariousness and contests and everything. So it was good. Sometimes I would have to go straight from, you know, whatever I was doing at 4 o'clock in the morning to the radio station and go to work. But my boss didn't mind. My co-host didn't mind. Yeah. It was, my night owl personality worked out.
And then you would just crash at about noon, and that would be it for a while, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Get up at 8 o'clock at night and go.
Go play a gig.
Yeah.
So how did you end up coming up to Chicago?
Well, I moved up here with a guy. But not
a different
some other guy who's
also a terrible singer.
He's
a terrible singer.
He was an actor, which is worse than a terrible singer, I think.
I hope he was a terrible actor.
I don't want to say. No, he was all right, and okay. He's up here and he's doing fine, which is great. We parted on good terms, but it became apparent very shortly after we moved up here that was not a good idea. So. You know, it was a great way to get me out of Peoria into Chicago. I did love radio. I loved my friends and my families down there, my parents and everything. But, Chicago beckoned, and I came up here and met Daniel and played music. And then you really went to school.
When you went to the South Side to hang out at Von's, Von Freeman's sessions.
Oh, you used to go to the apartment
all
lounge?
All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was craziness. If I had gone to the Green Mill every week like I went down to 75th Street, I'd have met Daniel a lot sooner. But I was busy on the South Side hanging out with Von Freeman in that session down at the new apartment lounge on Tuesdays. That was great.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, I'm going to turn it back over to you, Tom.
Well, thank you. I'm filled with ideas here. Well, okay, let's see. What about Jilly's?
What about Jilly's? I don't think it even exists anymore, right? That's gone, yeah?
But you did that for a long time,
Jilly's is
right?
gone, the one on Rush?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I knew the one in Naperville went away.
This one's gone.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you remember the night I came to Jilly's with Joey DeFrancesco?
Yes, of course I do. Yes, that was fabulous. And Joey D is great.
Yeah, he's a good friend. He's a good friend of both of ours, actually.
We've got pictures of you all dancing that night.
Yeah, Joey and I were dancing on the dance floor.
That was a great night. I really
do you have pictures of
that,
Dan, that you could send us for the podcast?
We actually
and
do.
I will sell them
pictures.
To the highest bidder.
Bill Witz was there. He's always there with his camera.
Of course he is.
Jilly's was something crazy that happened when I first moved to Chicago. They had a talent contest, and I had a cousin who lived here, and he knew the doorman. So it was one of those so-and-so called so-and-so, and then I got a call. And I was encouraged to, you know, oh, you should do this talent contest. So I did. I showed up. I had three tunes. We all played together. I competed.
Was that upstairs with
it
the piano?
It was upstairs,
was that with Nick?
Yeah. You know, it wasn't with Nick, but he was there at the time.
Oh, okay.
And I won this talent contest, and the big grand prize was, among other things, a month's worth of Sunday night gigs there. And so I did my Sunday night gigs, and they realized that I was less of an amateur than they had anticipated win that contest. And I worked there for the next 4 years every week.
Oh, wow.
So I had like Wednesday nights there for the next 4 or 5 years.
Wow, that's great.
It was great.
I think I did one or two of those.
I think you did too. It was rough, wasn't it?
The keyboard keyboard was atrocious.
Yeah, and I had a drum machine. That was you talk about paying dues. That was vicious. Yeah. That was difficult. But I did meet, you know, I met a lot of celebrities that came in. It was a nice staff. They were good to me. I met Tommy.
Dicka came in.
He came in a couple of times.
I remember the first time I met him was at Jilly's. And it was downstairs
so
in the disco place.
Yeah.
And he had a bottle of champagne, and he was disco dancing. I was
like,
the cotch. You can't beat it, man. There it is. So you had to see everybody. I mean, you know, all the celebrities would always go through Jilly's.
It was a tourist spot, and a lot of guys came through there. I think R. Kelly came in one night and laid some stuff down and played for a little while. He sang and played, but I tell you what, his uncle was with him, and his uncle got up and did What a Difference a Day Made, and that he killed. He just killed and shut that whole room down. Yeah. I had to take a break after that. I'm like, I can't follow that. I'll be right back.
Well, so we probably need to kind of wrap it up a little, because you guys are going to perform.
That's right.
And so first off, we got to get all of our good stuff in, so they can get more information on where you're performing, Stephanie, at StephanieAaron, AARON.com, www. And of course, Dan, if they want to kind of check out, get more information on Indigo.
Yes, they can go to ArlenMusic.com. I'm also a member of the NIA Quintet, I see. Oh, Scott Anderson sitting over there.
You guys were on a...
So go to NIAQuintet.com if you want to hear me in a modern quintet.
Yeah, well, you guys just recorded
setting.
A new recording, too.
That's right, and we did this show not too long ago.
But a month and a half ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you guys just finished up in the studio, I think, too, right?
That's right, yeah. We got our third album coming out pretty soon. Over at Transient Sound, just down the road from here.
Sure. And then what upcoming shows do you have, Stephanie, if anybody wants to get out and see you?
I have got some City Gate Grill things happening, which is in Naperville.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's great. A lot of our listeners are in Naperville on WDCB.
Well,
right,
they can.
That way.
Yeah, and they can come in on December 7th and November 23rd. Third, I believe, Saturday. Yeah, that's this weekend. So I'll be there this weekend and then December 7th.
December 7th. Okay. Mm-hmm. And Tom, you have any other things to add before you start?
Yeah, well, Steph and I were doing a gig at the Mexican place, El Cid 2. What was it, the first Wednesday of every month? But
we did
it for a while.
Like a year, more than a year.
More than a year. I think we might be back there in January.
We'll try again in
January.
We'll try. Yeah.
But yeah, that was a lot of fun because they gave us food at the end of the gig.
It's a good gig if they offer you food, man.
Yeah.
Now I know exactly what to do. So, Tom, when I hire you, don't worry about the money, Tom.
Yeah,
I'm
going to
give you some food at the end of it.
Yeah, food and drinks. Yeah.
It's all going to be okay.
Yeah, right.
Right after the steak goes down, everything will be fine. Let me worry about all that big old money stuff.
There used to be a guy I worked with. I won't say any names, but he would like drink a lot.
On
the gig, you know, and so the gig would pay like, you know, $50 or something, but his bar bill was like $78. And you go, oh,
like,
well, good. It only cost
Brothers.
Me only cost me $30 tonight. So,
something out of the Blues Brothers on that, huh?
Yeah.
You have to strike a balance if you can. Not drink more than you make.
Well, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, every musician in the place goes, it's tough. Yeah. That's where we
Challenge.
Try to do.
Well, I'm glad that we had such a great conversation that all of a sudden now every person listening to this thing is going, well, we were going to hire a band, but after hearing about the amount that they drink,
yeah,
I think
we're going to
hold off on that for a little while.
Well, we know how to be sober when we have to.
Well, thanks again, guys, for coming in, and we're looking forward to hearing you perform live here. And, Tom, I think this was a good maiden voyage with our Tom Showcase. We can come up with maybe a better name or not. I don't know. It's up to you.
Well, I'll have to think about it and consult my people, and then I'll have them get back to you.
Have them get back to my people.
I'll have my people call your people.
Perfect.
We'll do lunch.
Why don't we have them do lunch?
We'll have them do lunch.
All right, well, thanks, Tom. Thanks, Stephanie. Thanks, Dan. And look forward to hearing you guys perform with another tune here on Chicago Jazz Revealed, 90.9 FM, WDCB.